are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So balancing faith and a career is a common challenge for many Christian women. And today we are going to be discussing some strategies and considerations for Christian women seeking to harmonize their faith with their professional lives. And we are joined on the line by Dr. Catherine Mukwanda-Wirasimbo, who's going to be helping us with this conversation. Doc, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I am good, my doctor. This one's going to be interesting. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Indeed. Doc, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Okay, let us pray. Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and to praise your name for life today, for all the blessings that you give us, for your protection and for your guidance, even as we discuss this important topic for women. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit to guide us, because this can only be done through the power from on high. On their own, the women cannot find the wisdom, the guidance, or the strength indeed to be able to be faithful to you and also to be good career women and also good women for their families. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Doc, you know, for us to balance work and our faith and career, you know, sometimes it can be challenging for many women, you know. So how can we now as Christian women balance our faith and our career aspirations? Because some of us, you know, we just want to reach the highest title that can be in the particular organization. But now when you're also looking at the faith, how can we create that balance?
Thank you. Yes, it is challenging. It can be very, very challenging to find that balance, but it can only be done through prayer. It means that we ask God each day at the start of the day to just give us the strength, to give us the wisdom, to guide us so that we'll be able to find time to fulfill all the schedules that we have to do in the home, at work, and still find time to meditate and to just be in God's presence. So the first thing is that we need to pray for God to guide us. Because if we don't do that, it is possible to just go through the day without having had time to talk to the Lord. When I was working full-time in the hospital, I remember, because I had to drive for like 45 minutes, 1 hour. So like sometimes I wake up late because I was tired when I slept. So it means I didn't have time to even talk to God. Sometimes I've come late. So even the worship probably with my husband or my family or whoever at home is not possible because I've come late. And most times I used to be the culprit, and this used to trouble me so much. Because I'm not there, they can't have the worship. And then I've come late, so now there's no time to have it. And so because this troubled me, I said, I think I'm going to ask God now, should I stop working? What do you want me to do? Help me to be able to find time for this. So I found that when I asked God for guidance, it worked better. Okay. Even if it's just for a minute, I have talked to God that morning. You find that I'll be reminded maybe at midday when there is some chance I'm having a break. Just to whisper a prayer to God, you find that things will go well. But those days where I haven't prayed, I'll find that everything will just go wrong. I'll just be snapping maybe at the nurses, at the students. And then I'll remember by the end of the day, I didn't pray this morning. And everything went so badly. So I think, again, it starts with talking to God, asking God for guidance. Because without God, it's just chaotic. The home will be chaotic. And then at work, it's chaotic. And everything just doesn't hold. So one strategy is to ask God really for guidance.
Yep.
Because the challenges are real. If you are a mother and then you are working, the challenges are very, very real.
Yeah. So we know that, Doc, that, you know, not all working environments, they're Christians. I mean, we have different religions. When we're different people do all throughout, you know. So how can now that woman, that Christian woman, you know, maintain a strong connection with their faith in a work environment that may be, for example, secular, non-Christian, or even if you find yourself maybe working for people who are strongly believing in a different religion than yours, you know. Just to add there, I remember back some years back when we used to work, our colleagues were Indian and the bosses were Indian. So when it came time for it's not Ramadan. Ramadan is Muslim. For the holy, yes. When they were doing their holy stuff with their, you know, they would come with the sweets and everything and circulate them there. And some people were like, we're not going to eat because, you know. But how does now a Christian woman now maintain that balance? Because here you are, you're working at a non-Christian organization because we don't have a lot of Christian organizations out there. So how do they go about that?
Yes, that can be a real challenge. Mm-hmm. But what I found is that so, I am saying I am a Christian or a Seventh-day Adventist. So it means that I need to pray even more for God to guide me in various challenging situations so that I'll be able to represent to God in every situation. For instance, I was working at it's a public hospital, so it's not a Christian hospital. And so I will ask that, you know, before we start this surgery, I'll ask for permission, say, can we pray? Can I pray? And most people wouldn't refuse, say, I am this religion, why do you want to pray? I'm going out, I'll come back when you finish. No, I found that many people wouldn't refuse because I'm just praying generally, asking God to just guide us because we are a team that this difficult surgery will be successful. And then, of course, just thanking God at the end of it all that it went well. And also to just be consistent, and that's the most difficult part. I'm saying I'm a Christian, and then as I interact with the patients, sometimes patients will annoy you. You're explaining to them that you need to do this intervention because to save her life. For instance, the commonest example that I meet every day is that a pregnant woman has very high BP and the only treatment is that she must be delivered. Sometimes the baby is still very small, but that's the only option because or else she'll develop a lot of complications. And most women, sometimes, yes, especially if the pregnancy is small, didn't matter which background they come from, they will resist. Some of them, yes, very faithful Christians in their own religions. For example, the Jehovah's Witness, you say, you know, you need blood. And she'll say, no, I don't need, I won't accept the blood. Say, but you might, you know, lose your life or the life of the baby. And then they hold on to their faith because that's what they believe, and they'll refuse. And sometimes, you know, it was possible to lose your temper, say, but we need to deliver you because, you know, you can die. Okay, sign here. So there's a way in which you can do it that somebody has refused.
Yeah.
And you accept their refusal and you kindly explain to them and you write in the file everything in a gentle manner. But then at other times, especially if you haven't asked even God to guide you in this difficult situation, you just miss nothing. oh, you're going to die. That's your own fault. You sign here. You sign here. We have told you that you need this. And so it makes a difference if you are saying you are connected to God. The way that you do it, somebody is refusing a procedure. The way that you do it so gently, and then you continue to pray that they will accept. And you find that within the week, then they'll say, doctor, I think now I've agreed. And like if you are just, you know, doing it in a very, you know, unkind manner like that, you find that they'll stick to their position. But I found that when I did it gently, explaining and just praying in my heart that they will see the danger, that they will agree to this intervention, and that, you know, God, well, you are the God of this woman, so intervene. And you find that along the way, then they will agree, or something will turn out positive.
Yeah.
So I think consistency, which is very difficult, also helps if we are consistent in what we believe and the way we are behaving at work with everyone else. It certainly will show, and there will always be that peace. And even if it's a very tense situation and people are scared, they're running, but once you remain calm, knowing that God is the ultimate healer, it often helped to calm the situation. And people say, but doctor, you are not panicking. I said, no, there's no need to panic, because we have done our best, and the rest depends on God. So I think it also helps just to be consistent and just try to live what we believe in. And that's not always easy, especially when we are in a crisis situation, maybe a very sick patient. It's always tempting to follow the crowd and to panic. And then you cannot do the right things when you are in panic mode.
So as Christian women, you know, we have values that we are taught, you know, we and teachings that, you know, they groom us to whom we are and so forth and so on. And they, you know, they have a influence on our daily lives. So how do those values and teachings, you know, help us in our decision making when it comes to careers? Because sometimes... as you are speaking there, you are meant to go and work somewhere, but because you know your values do not allow, then you are able to say no. Other places you are able to say yes. How then do they best help us in those decision makings? And how important are those values and teachings?
So our values, our norms are very important because they protect us, they guide us. And it's always important to remember where we come from. It's always important to stay connected to where we come from, even if we have now, we are educated, we have money and so on. It's always important to remember where we come from, because those cultures, those values make our identity. So you find that there are some things that I wouldn't take part in. For example, at the end of each year, the hospital will organize probably a function, and of course it's a party, there'll be beer, because you know, some people can only celebrate with beer, and sometimes it will be on a wrong day, like on a Friday. That was easy to refuse, to say no, it's a Sabbath evening for me, I can't take part, thank you, but I will make the contribution for the party. Sometimes it's not on a Sabbath, it's just an ordinary evening. It's not a Sabbath evening. And then you say, no, but, you know, I don't drink. And I know that people will be drinking, they'll be dancing and so on. And those values I would remember, well, I don't drink, why should I drink now? Then I'll just politely say, no, I cannot come, because I'd be celebrating, I'd be dancing, but, you know, I didn't grow up like that, so I will not enjoy anything. I'll just take maybe Fanta, which I can just take at home. So, indeed, our values are very, very important. It's always important to stay connected to our values and our culture, especially those that are good, and they are not in conflict, of course, with our Christian values and principles as well, according to the Bible.
So we have a lot of things, you know, that we're doing as women. Children, studying, our careers, faith. You have to, as I'm speaking like this, I have to now cook for Sabbath, for church. You know, it's a lot that we are dealing with, you know.
Yes.
So how can we now manage stress and prioritization of issues whilst maintaining focus on our faith? Because sometimes, you know, we don't even have that breather saying, let me just study this Bible and this Bible verse and meditate on it. Because kuningi, when you're thinking about that, you're thinking, oh, I was assigned to cook spinach, you know, let me start being busy with that. At the other hand, the children are there. So how now do we de-stress and also prioritize issues that we have to do?
Thank you. So I think prioritization is very, very important, because we end up doing a little of everything, and at the end of the day, we are even more stressed because we are frustrated. We haven't done a good job of everything. But to just set priorities, to say this is important, I need to do it today. This one, I can do it in the middle of the week. For instance, if it's, say, I need to make my bedroom tidy. And that used to trouble me a lot, because I said, you know, I don't have the time. I cannot do it every day. Said, okay, maybe I'll try just once a week. And I found comfort, because I thought I was the only one. I said, I work, but then I'm so dirty. I can't tidy up the bedroom every day. And we were in a discussion with some SDA doctors, and one doctor commented, oh, today I felt so bad. You know, my bedroom is so dirty, and this week I haven't had time. So I'm hoping the weekend I can do that. So in my head, I say, oh, Lord, thank you. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one who is a doctor and also not able to do the cleaning on a daily basis. So it's important so that we don't stress ourselves with things that can wait. So to prioritize, so this one, I'll do it at the weekend. This one must be done today. This one I need to do no matter what. For example, maybe the prayer, worship, and so on. So looking back, I thought that, yes, I missed an opportunity somewhere, because maybe those days that I would knock off late and then I disturb or break the family worship with the family, with the children, and so on. It's something I could have done so that I knock off early and don't miss that one. So looking back now, I think it should have been possible to prioritize, say, no, so this work should wait because I must knock off at this time because we need to have this family worship. But if there's no prioritization, no prior planning, then everything ends up a chaos, and then we are frustrated. It's important to say, oh, yes, this can wait, because today I'm just resting, I'm just meditating, I'm not doing anything. But if we don't think like that, then we'll be stressed, we'll be tired, and then we won't be useful at home, we won't be useful at work. We will get sick, and then the family will suffer. So it's always important to set time in the week, a few hours, say, no, this day I don't do anything. It's for myself to just rejuvenate, to just rest. That is another day apart from the Sabbath, because on Sabbath, thank God, at least those of us who have the Sabbath, we are also resting, we are rejuvenating. But I still need another day. So I'm not going anywhere, I'm not going to church. It means I can wake up late, because on Sabbath, of course, you still have to wake up early to go to church. But just another day when I'm not waking up early, because I'm just resting and having a rejuvenation of the body and eating good food, not in a hurry to say I'll be late for work or for church. So it's very, very important as women, especially if we work, we have a family, to still love ourselves enough to make sure that we rejuvenate the body all the time so that we'll be useful for work and for family.
So as we're nearing the end, there, Doc, as we're speaking about, you know, the balance between work and faith, because it's very important to find that balance, you know. So how can we find now meaning and purpose in work that is not necessarily Christian or faith-based? As we, you know, as we were answering the other one earlier, we do know not all workplaces are Christian or Christian-based. So how then now do we find meaning and purpose in all that we are doing?
Thank you. So this reminds me of Ecclesiastes. I can't remember the chapter right now, but it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, as unto the Lord. So it means that if we are Christian women, it doesn't matter what type of work we've been assigned to do, we should do it joyfully. Do it with our heart. That means we do it faithfully and as if we're doing it unto the Lord, because there's no work that is useless. Even if it's being a maid, and I've found many times people who are maids, like, they look down upon themselves. They think that that is a very lowly job for those who are poor or uneducated, but every work is important in its own right. And if we would do it joyfully, happily, it will show. I went for a course some years back in Ireland. It was just for 6 months in obstetrics and gynecology. And we had these ladies who are cleaning our rooms and our corridors and doing, changing our beddings and so on once a week. And I couldn't stop to think, wow, they're so happy every day with their work. And then at lunch hour, they'll be discussing, we need to save, guys, we need to save. After this end of the year, we should go to Spain for a holiday and just have a good time. And I said, wow, these women have found purpose in their lives. Yes, they are maids. This is the work that they have managed to do. But they'll do it so happily. They'll come, they'll greet you every day. They'll sweep, they'll mop, they'll change your beddings. And they're so happy. And they'll be able to save as a group and go on holiday at the end of each year. And I said, wow, only all of us could be like this. Doesn't matter what type of work, it's important. Whatever they were doing was important for us as students, so that we were living in clean environments. And we were grateful that they were doing it so happily, so faithfully. And it impacted on me, just their nature and the way they carried themselves about, the way that they were happy, they'll be singing and then planning what they would do at the end of the year. Not at the end much, but at least they'll make a plan that they will save a little. And at the end of the year, they go and distress. And I thought, oh, this is so important for all of us as women. No matter what type of work we do, at least we should find time. We can save a little where we'll go and relax and just rejuvenate all over again. So it's important to enjoy what we are doing and to do it as if we're doing it to the Lord. Then we'll do it faithfully, and we'll be able also within that work to impact others, to bless others. And that's what our work is meant to be. It doesn't have to be work that is related to maybe preaching or being a literature evangelist. But no matter what type of work we're doing, even just in the home, even the cooking, doing the laundry, we shouldn't do it with a grudge. The woman, this type of work, I have to clean this grudgingly. That also stresses us. So we should do it as if we're doing it unto the Lord, and God will bless us.
Hey, Doc, thank you so much. Hey, do it as you're doing it unto the Lord, because sometimes we're like, the people are not Christian, so I'm just going to give half of myself. But I'm happy that you are able to remind us of that. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that as women, we may find the correct balance, and we may pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in how do we best find that balance?
Thank you. Sometimes, sorry, I forgot one more small thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
In finding balance, as I'm taking the children to school, we didn't have time to pray. We'll just pray in the car, just 2 minutes. And I thought that helped the kids at school. That helped me at work. So wherever we are, even if it's tight, even just in the car for a minute, we would still pray. Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father, we want to thank you that we have you as our Savior and our guide, and you have promised that you always be with us. As women, we've got so many responsibilities, and sometimes we don't know what to do or where to start from. Help us to always ask for your guidance. Help us to stay connected to you so that we'll be able to plan, to prioritize, and find a balance in all the things that we have to do, and still do them as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. My sister, thank you so much for coming through. I know that you always come through. So thank you for speaking with us today. And I hope that we were able to make everything work. So may you have yourself a blessed day.
Blessed day too.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.